There were things I really liked about InfoWars, but that was before they became a Trump-supporting hub of spreading ignorance and hatred against Islam.
Islam is a violent, intolerant religion, which in its current form has no place whatsoever in liberal Western democracies. The problem is not radical Islam. The problem is just Islam.
Wow. Either you're naive or you're depending on the naivety of people out there who are watching your videos.
I've got a few questions.
Well, incidentally, I have a few answers.
If banning people from countries because of their religion is bad, then why do 16 Muslim countries ban Israelis because of their religion?
Israel is not a country. It's a foreign occupation of the noble indigenous people of Palestine and an apartheid state. Apartheid is a system of institutionalized racial segregation and discrimination, and it's the duty of all decent people, whether Muslims or non-Muslims, to oppose it by any means necessary. Whether it's done by Jews, Muslims, or any other religion or race. Apartheid is against the values of humanity and against the values of Islam. That's why a Muslim nation like Iran severed ties with South Africa in 1979 and imposed a trade boycott in protest against the country's apartheid policies. Are South Africans Jewish? Here's Nelson Mandela referring to the leader of the Islamic Ummah as my leader.
My leader. How are you?
You see, it's not about being Muslim or non-Muslim, it's about being a good person and opposing oppression, whatever form it takes. So don't try and paint this as a Muslims versus them scenario when it's clearly an oppressor versus the oppressed scenario.
If Islam is culturally compatible with the West, why do the majority of Muslims living in the UK think that homosexuality should be criminalised?
Well, first of all, let me try and break you out of your little arrogant cage there. I mean, what makes you think that the West is the standard and that everyone has to comply and conform to its superficial values? I mean, only a few years ago, they had laws against homosexuality. Now that they've legalized them, you expect the whole world to legalize it? And why are you equating Western culture with homosexual rights when polling in 2016 showed that at least 37% of Americans oppose same-sex marriage? So don't try and paint a picture as though Muslims are the only ones who are opposed to it. Major world religions like Christianity, Judaism, and Islam are opposed to homosexuality. And this is an issue of sexual morality, which affects all aspects of society, including marriage and divorce rates, family culture, and sexual ethics in general. The West, especially the UK and America, are in no position to point the finger at anybody when it comes to sexual morality. You know, it's funny, when the Orlando massacre took place and 50 people were murdered in cold blood, I didn't actually see Muslims blaming gay people or the LGBT community, but Alex Jones, your boss, did.
And I charge the LGBT community in general with endangering America and with the blood of these 50 plus innocent men and women who did not deserve to die.
But you just love pointing the finger at Muslims, don't you?
If Islam is culturally compatible with the West, why do 11 Muslim countries still execute gay people?
Every country in the world has established laws against public acts of sex. Islamic law dictates that in a country with an Islamic government, if a person is seen by witnesses committing the act of anal copulation in public, they will suffer the death penalty. Now, whether or not those countries abide by the strict teachings of Islam is irrelevant. If you don't want to be killed for being gay in an Islamic country, don't commit sex acts in public.
If Islam is culturally compatible with the West, why do supposedly modern Muslim countries like the United Arab Emirates detain, harass, and threaten transgender people?
Why are you referring to the UAE as a modern Islamic country? Because it has skyscrapers? I mean, the UAE is one of the only three countries in the world to officially recognize the Taliban as Afghanistan's legitimate government. If that's what you term as modern, no wonder you root for Trump. The treatment of transgender people or hermaphrodites is questionable in every country in the world. But even in some Islamic countries, like Iran, transgender people are treated hospitably by the religious authorities, and there are just Islamic rulings in place to cater for their needs. So get your facts right.
If Islam is culturally compatible with the West, why do you have something literally called the rape game and something called bacha-bazi, where old men have sex with young boys?
You know, I could respond by asking a question of my own. If Christianity is so compatible with the West, then why do your priests practice sodomy with little children? Or I could ask the question, why was a 51-year-old New York priest arrested after police found pornography involving a toddler on his computer, as well as 12 grams of crystal meth in his church office? But I'm not going to ask that, because that would be generalising, you ignorant loser. Or I could ask the question, if the UK is so opposed to paedophilia, then why is it that around 23,000 cases of child sexual abuse were identified during 2012 and 2013? And you might say that the West doesn't promote a culture of paedophilia, but then why is it that well-publicised cases of child sexual abuse in recent years have involved popular entertainers, politicians, military personnel, and other officials? For an outsider, that seems pretty substantial that Western culture promotes pedophilia. I mean, the celebrity Jimmy Savile is just one example of a famous UK television personality whose child sexual abuse continued over 4 decades. The Metropolitan Police stated that the total number of alleged victims was 589, of whom 450 alleged abuse by Savile. Oh, and Jimmy Savile was knighted by the Queen of England. I mean, knighthood is only one of the highest possible honours that can be received by an individual in the UK. Now, you're on the inside, so to you it might just seem like, oh, it's just an anomaly. Imagine if a celebrity of the Muslim world raped over 400 children over a period of 40 years and was also honored by a Muslim leader. You'd be like, it's Islam. Look, it's Islam.
Is there anything our intelligence agencies wouldn't put up with that was so evil? And decided to basically roll up the globalist operation that was using pedophilia as a control system here in the United States and Europe. And there's countless articles about the royal family and Jimmy Savile and in Europe proper, all the pedophile networks controlling people. So Jerry Sandusky's son has now been arrested today on child sex charges. That all of this is taking place and that Jerry Epstein and the Clintons and others are flying kids out of the country. And raping them.
I mean, look at the hypocrisy there.
Why do you fail to speak out against Islamic terrorism, yet organize mass protests when someone draws a cartoon of Muhammad?
It's funny, because you answer this yourself in your next question, where you ask, if terrorism is all just a backlash of Western foreign policy, why are most victims of terrorism other Muslims? Well, that's just it, isn't it? Muslims obviously are opposed to terrorism, because the bulk of it is aimed against other Muslims. But the fact that you expect Muslims to speak out against acts of terror as though they're the ones responsible is worrying. Don't get me wrong, it's the duty of all Muslims to speak out against all forms of terror. That's why Muslims oppose America's state-funded terrorism, whether it comes in the form of the Taliban, or Al-Qaeda, or ISIS. And rest assured, whatever your next president brings, we'll oppose that too. Oh, and as for the cartoons of Muhammad, this is a question of the balance between freedom of speech and respect, a balance which the world needs to learn. I mean, you can't just go up to a black guy and say, "Nigger what?" and then say, "Oh, I'm exercising my freedom of speech." No, it doesn't work like that. It's disrespectful. Similarly, you can't just go into a cinema and be like, "Oh, fire, fire," because it's going to affect other people. You can't just sit in an airplane full of people and shout out, "Bomb, bomb," because other people are going to get freaked out. So yes, you do have freedom of speech, but you have to exercise that right within the boundaries of respect. But what exactly are you trying to say? That cartoonists can exercise their rights to insult the greatest man that ever lived for Muslims globally, but then Muslims can't exercise their rights to protest against it? Like, what are you trying to say?
Why do you complain about all Muslims being blamed for radical Islam, then shout down and intimidate ex-Muslims who speak out against radical Islam?
You know, you demagogues at InfoWars are really good at hyping things up when they don't need to be. First of all, I really had to try and dig and dig, and eventually I did find the source that you're talking about. It's from the Daily Beast. In the article itself, this brother Majid Nawaz is actually discussing all the different groups of people who are against his way of thinking. Some of them are Muslims. But the first paragraph highlights that some of the people branding this Muslim reformer as an anti-Muslim extremist are, as the article states, largely white American non-Muslim progressive leadership at the pro-civil liberties group, naming him as an anti-Muslim extremist. They're not even Muslims. So it's not that Muslims are on one side and non-Muslims are on the other side like you're trying to portray at all. There's a nice mix of people, some promoting and pulling and pushing in different directions. He goes on to describe that many have already admirably come to my defense, and more are no doubt forthcoming. So you see, the picture is not half as black and white as you're trying to make it seem. Don't you guys at InfoWars complain about how the mainstream media always distorts and warps the truth? Don't you realize that you're doing exactly the same thing now, third-rate journalist?
Why do you insist that all Muslims shouldn't be collectively blamed for terrorism, but then collectively blame all Westerners for the actions of our governments in Muslim countries?
See, now you're just flat-out lying. Muslims do not blame all Westerners for the actions of the government, even though you voted for them, despite the fact that Muslims are often generalized themselves. Even though America and the UK particularly have had a history which is rich with genocide, global war crimes, racism, and colonialism, Muslims generally don't blame the people. Even those who chant the famous slogan, "Death to America," and burn American flags in Iran and Syria and Lebanon, etc., know that when they chant "Death to America," they don't mean the people or the nation. The leader of the Islamic Ummah has even said, "Human values have been trampled in the US, discrimination, controversies, racism, and human rights violations." When you chant "Death to America," or when you are told to direct all your chants against America, it means death to these things. It is clear that it does not mean death to the American nation. This slogan means death to American policies, death to arrogance. Like it or not, America has become the very thing which represents human rights violations, the snatching away of privacy laws, the snatching away of freedoms. It has come to represent racism, discrimination, indoctrination, arrogance, hegemony, and international bullying. But I wouldn't expect a Trump supporter to understand that.
Why do you insist that Islam is a religion of peace, and then threaten to kill me when I say it isn't?
What do you want me to do? Apologize? I'm so sorry. I'm genuinely sorry. I'm so sorry that somebody sent you an email threatening to kill you. I mean, from the heart, I'm really sorry. How many threats do you think I'm gonna get from deviant Christians or from far-right American patriots or from the UK government? I'm never gonna turn around and blame all Christians or all Americans or all Brits. But when Western nations continue to preach about how much freedom of rights and freedom of speech and how much of a free and open society they are, I'm gonna keep on speaking the truth against them. And if you truly believe that Islam is a religion of violence and terrorism, good for you, brother. Preach!
If Islam is a religion of peace, why does the Quran contain 109 passages that call for Muslims to wage war against non-believers?
Mate, I invite you to read this book. I mean, genuinely read it. Don't just do what the majority of ignorant people, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, do, which is just look up those verses which seem to be proving their point. This is a divine book which guides out of the darkness into the light, like the Bible before it, like the Torah before it, a book of perfection and balance which is unparalleled. But you don't even need to read the entire Quran to understand the meaning, the true meaning, of those 109 verses which you so conveniently quote. For every one of them, just try reading the verse before it and the verse after it. Then you'll start to understand what Allah is trying to tell you. Like the very first one on your list of condemners, the Holy Quran 2191 says, "And kill them wherever you overtake them." This verse is typically shared around by propagandists, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, who think that they found something with which they can obscure the truth. Now read the verse before it, 2190. "Fight in the way of Allah those who fight you." The Quran is a complete guide to human life. Allah is telling you that if somebody attacks you, fight back. Don't just stand there like a moron. Duh. Next time you want to ask a question about the Holy Quran, try approaching it a little bit more academically.
Like, you've got the Iraqi law.
Which Iraqi law is this?
It's the Muslimic law.
If Islam is a religion of peace, why do police keep finding huge caches of military-grade weapons in mosques across Europe?
Thank you for sharing that news article and conveniently hiding the source again. But don't worry, I found it. It's from the New American. Really? I mean, have you seen the kinds of people who comment on this third-grade website? They've called for Muslims to be kicked out, referred to them as an orc invasion, described them as primitive 7th century subhuman Muslim hordes. I'm getting bored here. I mean, it's an article which starts off by presenting George W. Bush as the voice for liberalism and pro-Islamic sentiments. Now, when George Bush is cited as the voice for liberalism and the left, you know you've gone wrong somewhere. The only other place I could find this story propagated was The American Thinker, another place where people don't seem to think. Maybe someone needs to make American news reporting great again. I mean, this is extremely irresponsible reporting on your part. If you look at what Al Jazeera reported on the only similar story I could find, it had nothing to do with military-grade weapons. It reported that mosques will be closed down because they are run illegally without proper licenses. They preach hatred or use Tekfiri speech. It's these smaller third-grade websites which are hyping up this whole, oh my god, mosques are full of weapons, rubbish.
If Islam is a religion of peace, why do significant numbers of Muslims living in the West support suicide bombings?
You don't talk to many Muslims, do you? I mean, apart from the ones you claim send your death threats and stuff. I mean, why don't you try stepping out of your little media bunker for a little while? I don't know, go and visit a kebab shop. Go and try and talk to people. Try, even if you don't want to come out of your little media bomb shelter thing, then why don't you try, you know, talking to some Muslim YouTubers? They'll all tell you that terrorism is infidelity, terrorism is disbelief. Don't be so afraid all the time, you know? Fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering.
If Islam is a religion of peace, why is there no popular Muslim peace movement?
Okay, what do you mean by popular peace movement? If you mean Muslims who don't want war, then Muslims globally don't want it. Do you think a Muslim living in Iraq wants to be bombed, that he wants his family to be destroyed, his rights snatched away from him? I mean, what do you mean by popular peace movement? Iraq, 500,000 to a million deaths after the US invasion. Afghanistan, 26,000 civilian deaths. I mean, what do you want Muslims to do? Roll over and die? Look, Islam is a religion of peace, but it's also a religion of justice. It's also a religion of standing up against oppression. Look at the Lebanese resistance against Israel. Israel has been invading Lebanon for years. Do you want the Lebanese to not defend their rights, not to defend their lands and their people? Do you want Palestinians to wave a white flag and say, we're not going to defend our lands or our rights, our women and our children, because we're a popular peace movement?
If Islam is a religion of peace, why do I routinely receive messages from Muslims who agree with me, but who are afraid to speak out for fear of being killed?
I don't know. Maybe it's because they live in an intolerant country, like America.
If terrorism is all just a backlash against Western foreign policy, why are most victims of terrorism other Muslims?
Well, that's a question you have to ask yourself. I mean, why is it that the majority of people who suffer at the hands of terrorism are Muslims, and at the same time, it's Muslims who are referred to as terrorists by people like you? Western foreign policy is targeting Muslims. Ergo, the majority of casualties are Muslims.
Why do you constantly invoke the Crusades, a 600-year-old defensive war, to make apologies for modern-day Islamic terrorism?
Only a Trump supporter would refer to the Crusades as a defensive war, you utter idiot. The Crusades were a series of religious wars sanctioned by the Latin Church in the medieval period with the aim of capturing Jerusalem and the Holy Land from Muslims. 1.7 million people dead, so that centuries later, you can come and call it a defensive war. Hey, maybe. Centuries from now, your progeny will refer to America, UK, Israel, and Saudi Arabia's destruction of Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Libya, Somalia, and Palestine as a defensive war. Do you? It's like you want to repeat history? There's no point in telling you that those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it, because you just want to.
Why do you complain about France banning the burkini, when if Western women visited beaches in Islamic countries wearing what they wanted to wear, they'd be attacked and imprisoned?
Have you just gone fully stupid? Every country has laws about how much or how less people can wear in public. Men, like me and you, can walk around in the West topless. Can women? No. So there's clearly a big difference. Some Islamic countries forbid men and women from wearing less than the divine Islamic requirement, which is hijab. Now, how can you compare that with what happened in France, which is the legalizing of the prosecution and harassment of women who want to wear more? Damn! Like, you're so stupid, it hurts my head. You don't have the excuse to be this stupid.
Why do you try to shout down criticism of Islam by calling it racist, when Islam isn't a race?
Finally, something we both agree on. Yeah, you're right. Criticism of Islam is not always racism, but sometimes it is based on race.
Why, after every Islamic terror attack, is your primary concern a backlash against Muslims? Like, if a far-right troll kills Muslims, should our primary concern be a backlash against far-right trolls?
When an Islamic terror attack takes place. People who are not even remotely involved in the crime are harassed. Muslim hate crimes increase. Muslim women's hijabs are snatched from their heads. A Sikh temple gets burnt down because people ignorantly associate them with Muslims. When a far-right troll commits a terror attack, it's referred to by mainstream media as though it's some sort of tragic anomaly of societal pressures causing mental instability. Like, how can you even compare the backlash that occurs after an Islamic terror attack to that of far-right trolls? How?
If the West is so selfish for not taking in enough Syrian refugees, why have the five wealthiest Muslim countries taken in virtually no Syrian refugees?
If the West had not created the refugee crisis in the first place with state-funded terrorism, multiple military invasions, and imposing heavy sanctions on the neighboring nations that might have been able to help, perhaps there'd be less expectations from the West when it comes to helping those affected.
If the West is so evil, oppressive, and Islamophobic, why do 50 million of you live here?
What kind of question is that? I mean, shouldn't your primary concern be addressing the problems that exist in the West rather than turning to a scapegoat, i.e. the Muslims, and turning everybody's attention towards them? Like, what is that? Like, your final solution? That's just typical, innit? I mean, the West has serious problems. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. There's people in the streets. People don't have blooming clean drinking water, for Christ's sake. And what's your response to it all?
If you don't like it, just leave. If you don't like it here, just go away. Why are you living here then?
No! What's wrong with you? What does that have to do with people living there or not living there? It's got nothing to do with that, you moron. You know, I used to like things about InfoWars, you know, back when they were actually revealing the flaws of the American government, the banking system, the mainstream media, when they were actually coming up with solutions to solve the problems. Now, since Trump's come onto the scene, it's just become about a huge, like, campaign of bashing minorities. I mean, when did exposing the globalist agenda and the schemes of the elites turn into, I love Trump?
That is really disappointing.
You guys have become nothing but traitors to humanity, traitors to everything that you claim to stand for, and traitors to the American people who you seek to mislead by spreading more ignorance. You might be winning the war of information, but remember that knowledge is greater than information, and you're certainly losing the war for knowledge.